Hello, welcome back. And in this session, we're going to talk about anchoring, and particularly what anchoring is. So this short session is really around understanding what an anchor is, what causes it, and what we can do about that. So first, the question I've got really is, do you have a favorite piece of music, a favorite song, a favorite tune that whenever you hear it, it creates a feeling? An emotion, whatever that may be, whether it's positive or negative, or are there particular smells that elicit a response for you, or something that you see somewhere that a picture that you see that makes you feel in a particular way, or do you have some clothes that when you put them on that makes you feel really sort of able to do, very confident to do whatever you want to be able to do, as a friend of mine says. The pants of power. So when you pull those pants on, you feel like you can achieve anything. Well, that essentially is what an anchor is. It's a stimulus that creates an internal response. So an internal psychological and physiological response. And you may have come across Pavlov's dog and the idea that he created an internal response in the dog by ringing a bell every time he fed the dog. So eventually, once he'd done that a number of times, he kind of installed that response to the stimulus. So when he rang the bell, the dog automatically salivated, even though there was no food. And that's the same kind of process that we're talking about here. So let's have a look at how that might happen naturally, because like most of things in NLP, we set these anchors for ourselves, these stimuluses. In our stimuli, in an unconscious way as we go through our lives. And what we're trying to do here is to find a use for those, to be able to do them consciously, to be able to influence the state that we're in. So let's have a look at this. So this is called the NLP communication model. And essentially, what happens is that we respond to an external event and we take that information in from that external event. Through the senses. So, as we've said earlier on, we see, hear, touch, taste, or smell the world. And if we start with 100% of that available information, that information comes in through the senses. And what happens is that the senses are the first filter on that information. So they delete and distort and generalize information, as we've talked about earlier on. So the senses, although they're the only way we can interact with the outside world, are also quite limited, so they filter out a large proportion of the information that's available. And then, of course, we've got things like beliefs and values and meta programs and primary sort criteria and all kind of experience and all kinds of other things that filter information again before it gets into our conscious where we can actually do something about it or interact with it. And so we end up with a tiny amount of information, and we've discussed this before. So that small amount of information, once the information is coming from the outside world, it goes through the senses filter and then through the way that we think filter, and we end up with our internal representation or our perception of the world around us. So let's use an example. Let's say, for instance, that you have a belief that you are really bad at presentation skills, at presenting information to groups of people. The problem is that the new job you've got means that you have to give presentations. So when you see yourself in a room with the projector on and a group of people looking at you, that becomes the external event. So you take that information in, and because you filter it through the beliefs and values and experience that you've already had, your internal representation skews, distorts, generalizes, and deletes the information that's coming through to you. So you are likely to read people's body language in a negative way. And maybe that internal representation is along the lines of, they're not really interested in what I'm going to say here. They're here under sufferance. They don't like me. There could be any of those sort of things. But the way that you perceive the world affects your state, affects the way that you feel emotionally, psychologically. So if you see people in a room and you think, you believe that they're not interested in what you're going to say, how's that going to affect your state? Well, it might make you feel anxious or scared or frightened or upset or whatever that may be. But let's go with anxiety at the moment. And if you feel anxious, then What that's going to do, that state is going to affect your physiology. And we know about the fight, flight or freeze response to an internal representation. So where we are at the moment is I've seen a group of people in a room, I've filtered that information and I've created a state which is negative, which is affecting my physiology. And the thing about the physiology is your muscles tense, ready to run away or fight or just freeze in place. And your pupils dilate, your heart rate increases as the adrenaline's pumping, your blood thickens through the cortisol, your digestion slows down, your mouth dries up, you find it difficult to think. Well, obviously, and we'll come back to this bit in a second, that's going to affect the way that you behave. So as you stand there and you present the information, you're presenting it with shaking hands, with a dry mouth, not remembering what you're going to say next, staring eyes like a rabbit in the headlights. And as we know, behavior gets results. And the thing about those results is that if you're watching somebody presenting who appears to be really anxious and nervous and is stumbling over what they're saying, the chances are as an audience member, you're going to feel uncomfortable as well and maybe embarrassed. So what happens then is you start to shuffle around in your seat, you start to break eye contact, maybe look at your phone, look out the window. And of course, what that does is that becomes another external event. So the whole process cycles around. So every time you see a group of people, you immediately have that state of anxiety. And because as we've seen, that as I come back to the vertical arrows here on the left-hand side, physiology affects state. So if you're ever ill or you've ever been stressed, that also affects the way you feel emotionally, psychologically, which also affects your perception of the world around you. Now, the thing about this is that if you've unconsciously chosen that state, then maybe what you can do is consciously choose to change that state to be in a better place to be able to deliver your presentation. So what we're saying here is that anything that you do unconsciously, you can choose to do consciously. You can control. So anchoring from an NLP point of view is sort of two things. One is understanding what is creating the state that you're in now and helping you to deal with that and raising your awareness of it. And the second is helping you have much more control over the state that you're in when you need to be. Because, you know, I guess it would be useful, would it, to be able to feel relaxed when you're actually feeling anxious, or to feel calm when you're feeling very tense, or to feel confident when you're really lacking in confidence. And so by learning how to set an anchor in NLP, we can choose to create our state and change our state just like that. So what I want to do now is just look at the sort of process of what happens to create that state in the first place. And then in the next video, we'll look at how to actually set an anchor for yourself or for other people. So let's have a look at a quick graph. And if this line along the bottom here represents time, and this one up here represents intensity of the state, then what we're suggesting here is that it's very, very difficult to maintain an intense state over a long period of time. And what tends to happen is it rises and then it drops away. And I'm sure that you've come across this experience yourselves. And in terms of the anchor we were talking about earlier, and you know, do you have a favorite piece of music? If you've been in a fairly intense, high intense state of having fun, let's say, imagine you're at a party or you're at a festival, you see a band come on stage, they play a piece of music, and at the point where you hear that external stimulus, or you see that external stimulus if it's a visual anchor, the two of those become completely synonymous. They become connected. So from that point on, every time you hear that piece of music or see that picture or see that image, you are going to feel that emotion. You're going to feel that intensity of emotion. And this is the sort of simple process that happens on the basis that over time, that emotional state will reach a peak and then it'll drop away. So at the time when you're you're feeling that intensity, and that intensity is as high as it's going to be. If you become aware, and it's not a guarantee, if you become aware of an external stimulus at that point, then the two of those become connected. And you know that the anchor can be an auditory anchor, so it can be a piece of music, it can be a visual anchor. Somewhere that you see, or a picture, or a film, or a person even, you know, a person's face. It can be something kinesthetic that you pick up or you hold or you taste. I know somebody who had a very negative anchor, for instance, to the taste and texture of baked beans, which proved to be useful later on, which we'll talk about later. So we have negative anchors and we have positive anchors. And that's the important thing to recognize, that walking onto a stage to do a presentation could be a very negative anchor based on something that's happened in your past. And it might be last week. It might have been when you were ridiculed at school, when you were standing up in front of the class to do something and you couldn't remember what you were going to say. The actual cause of that anchor is very often not known. It's just there in the back of your mind and your unconscious somewhere. So what we want to do is to be able to set an anchor at any time that we want to. Because to give you an example, for me, we used to live in the north of England, and we used to live about 100 miles from Ambleside in the Lake District. And we used to go to the Lake District quite often on holiday when we had two small children. This was back in the sort of mid to late 80s. And, you know, you can imagine, if you've got kids yourself, that you're getting ready for the holiday, packing the car up, getting the kids ready, getting in the car and driving can be quite an intense and stressful experience. And then you've got the classic, are we nearly there yet? All the way up the M6 and off around the bypass, the Kendal bypass. And when we reached the Kendal bypass, the radio cut out, because back in those days, there wasn't any radio signal in that sort of area, not that I could pick up in the car. And we didn't have seat back DVDs. And so keeping the kids entertained was quite a full-time activity, as well as, you know, driving the car and everything else that was going on. And so it went really quiet at that point, and it was becoming more and more intense the closer we got to Ambleside. And there's a point on that road where you come over a hill, and as you come over the hill, you get your first glimpse of Lake Windermere. And I remember the first time that happened, that I came over the hill there, and with the kids in the back of the car and everything going on around us, and I just felt like all the tension just drain out of my body. It was just that vision that made that happen. And even now, when we don't have the kids in the car and the radio works and we've got Spotify or CD or whatever, so there's plenty of entertainment and music along the Kendal bypass nowadays. Even now, when I drive over that hill and I see Lake Windermere, I just feel that tension drain out, and I feel totally relaxed. Now, the problem with that is that if I'm living down in Cornwall and I'm feeling particularly anxious or tense about something and I want to relax, I don't really want to have to drive all the way to the Windermere to feel relaxed and then have to drive back again. What I'd like to be able to do is to access that state just like that. And so the next video, we're going to show you how to do that. I guess that would be useful.